Alrighty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It's Wednesday already. This is the Daily Daily Caller podcast for that Wednesday, this Wednesday, the 28th day of August 2019. Right?
Yeah.
Now that's right. I'm Derek Hunter. I am your host, and I am easily distracted and horrible with dates and names. Welcome to the program. Email me, Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com if you want a chance to win a signed copy of Ben Howe's book, The Immoral Majority. Do that. Just email and say, hey, I want in, man. Or email me and tell me that I can take that book and stuff it where the sun doesn't shine. Which is, you know, most of my basement. And the dark recesses of my soul. But I won't stuff it in there. Lots of stuff to get to. Thanks for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for tuning in. And all of that good stuff. Without you, I would just be a guy speaking into a cheap microphone in his basement at 2 o'clock in the morning. And Lord knows there are enough of those in the world that we don't need one more. So thank you for lending me your ears, my friends, my Romans, my countrymen. All right, we got a lot of things to talk about, like I said, but first I want to tell you again about our great sponsor, Life Change Tea. I drink it every day. It's tasty and it works. It's a game changer. Since I've been drinking Life Change Tea, I've noticed I've been feeling so much better. I can't tell you how much more energy I have. You can hear it in my voice. How does it work? Life Change Tea is a proprietary herbal formula. As they say, it's a gentle daily cleanse that you can do at home. It gets rid of harmful intruders, the stuff that sits around inside your body that shouldn't be there. Get it out. Then your body can absorb nutrients. Let's face it, our food was different 60 years ago. It wasn't all this processed garbage. It was free of pesticides. It was nourishing and healthy for our body. Today, not so much. Nope. GMOs, pesticides, herbicides, heavy, heavy processing. They've depleted the nutrition in our food. It's no wonder we feel run down. Plus, having a coating of yuck inside us makes it all the more difficult for our body to get that good stuff into us. That's why you feel run down. Try it for yourself. Go to getthetea.com now. That's getthetea.com. You're like, what am I going to do? How do I get that tea? Well, you go to getthetea.com and you get the tea. And as an added bonus, all you got to do at checkout is enter the promo code Derek, D-E-R-E-K, just like my email without the weird stuff and the at, and you get free shipping. You can't beat that deal. GetTheTea.com, promo code Derek, free shipping. Get ready to change your life. Get ready to get more energy. Get ready to get that filth out of your body. Just make sure you follow the instructions. You make a gallon of it. You keep it in the fridge. You drink what they tell you to drink. One per day. That's it. You'll notice a big change in your life. GetTheTea.com, Life Change Tea. Good, good stuff. And thanks to them. And thanks to you. So let's get into it. Oh, man. I told you yesterday that Joe Biden was not doing super well in the polls. That I thought that maybe that poll could be an outlier. That maybe it didn't, you know, it wasn't necessarily indicating a trend. Well, we have a new poll today. This one from Emerson. This is of a Democratic and primary, Democratic primary and caucus voters. About the same time frame, Joe Biden is still in the lead, but he's down 2 points since last month. And Elizabeth Warren isn't doing as well. So this doesn't really bode well for the poll that we showed yesterday. We'll need a couple of more polls to really, really see if there was actually that Warren momentum. But the new poll from today or yesterday has Biden at 31%. He was at 33% before. Bernie Sanders at 24%. He's up 4 points. And then you've got Warren at 15%, which has her up 1 point in this poll, but down 5 points from the numbers that were released yesterday in the Monmouth poll. I tell you, always be cautious of these polls, but if you see a trend, that's something to pay attention to. One poll is not a trend. Although I would kind of like it to be true, but I don't want Joe to get out. I'm enjoying watching Joe Biden run for president. It's fun. It's weird. It's like watching somebody walk a high wire. You don't watch somebody walk a high wire to watch them make it. you watch in case they don't make it. Sounds a little morbid, but human beings are kind of morbid. It's that tension, are they going to make it or not, that makes it interesting. Otherwise, you're just watching somebody walk with a pole. That's boring. You know, I've done it. I've walked with a pole. I've seen people walk with poles. I'm not going to spend an hour on a TV show and watch a guy walk with a pole. Not super exciting. So the new Emerson pole has pretty much what it was before. Tightening, at least between Bernie and Biden, but not the massive Biden collapse that was shown yesterday. It's going to take probably two more polls that measure the same sort of stuff. They really do overpoll everything. It's ridiculous. But it'll probably take two more polls to really see whether or not that poll is just a disgrace and a bad poll or not. But there are other bits of data out there, because I know that sitting around and listening to numbers on a podcast or the radio is really, really awful, so I'm not going to inundate you with numbers. But I just want to point out a little bit here on how much money the candidates are spending. They're desperately trying to make it into the debate. I believe the deadline is today. I think it's today. To qualify for the next debate. And they're still scrambling to see who can actually make it to the next debate. So looking at spending over the last month, Tom Steyer, the billionaire, who's only cares about climate change and impeaching Donald Trump because he made his fortune in oil and now he wants to make a bigger fortune in subsidized green energies. He spent $11,954,000. $11,954,000 and change since July 9th when he announced. That's when he announced. It was July 9th. It's like, that's insane. That's nuts. Then you go down to the other Democrats who are, like I said, scrambling to, they have to make, I think, 2% in the polls and have like 130,000 donors to make it into the debate. Kirsten Gillibrand was the top spending Democrat. Are you aware that Kirsten Gillibrand is still running? Don't you forget that she exists? There was a story in the New York Post the other day about how people who used to work for Kirsten Gillibrand hate her. Can't stand her, think she's embarrassing herself, and she should drop out of the race. That's not, I mean, look, they say that there's no such thing as bad publicity, but there is. There definitely is. Here's a story from the New York Post. It's time for Senator Kirsten Gillibrand's sputtering presidential campaign to call it quits, a friend of hers and two former aides told the Post. Quote, it would be best if she decided that she was not, that this was not her time, said one longtime Gillibrand fundraiser who claimed the Democratic contender's well-heeled supporters want her to remain in the U.S. Senate. Quote, most people that I talk to are very happy with her as a senator and don't want her to give up her Senate seat and don't see any realistic traction for her. As Gillibrand struggles to get to the 130,000 individual donors to qualify for the third Democratic debate in Houston next month, it's unclear if she's hearing the message from those who have worked for her. Quote, I don't know that anyone even wants to see her on the debate stage. Everyone I talk to finds her performative and obnoxious, said one former senior staffer in Gillibrand's Senate office. Quote, again, that same person. She comes across as an opportunist to the public. I think that's the biggest problem. I think she'll have to seriously evaluate her campaign and her candidacy if she doesn't make the debate. Another friend and supporter said, quote, she's not going to make it. What is Kirsten's reason to stay in? She should find some gracious way to that enhances her as she gracefully exits and throws her conditional support to whoever gets the nomination. Even people who theoretically would stand to benefit personally if she won the nomination are like, it's not going to happen. But she's spending $2.14 million she spent in the last month trying to get 130,000 donors and to 3% in enough national polls. I think it's 2 or 3 national polls that you have to get 3% in. And she's not anywhere close. She's still less than 1% in most polls. What's shocking, though, is that she outspent every other Democrat in that period. Kamala Harris only spent $1.7 million. Elizabeth Warren only spent $1.7 million. Tulsi Gabbard, $1.7 million. Pete Buttigieg, $1.7 million. Joe Biden, $1.4 million. And here's Kirsten Gillibrand, $2.1 million. And she's still polling below toenail fungus in popularity. She's so wildly unpopular that she wasn't invited to participate. CNN is hosting on September 4th, which is coming right up. The worst, God, I don't know. You really, if you hate yourself, have I got some programming news for you. If you've got nothing better to do with your life next Wednesday, tune in to CNN, because for 7 freaking hours, they are going wall to wall with Democrats running for president, talking about climate change. Now, climate change doesn't rate with the American public. It's really, it's at the bottom of the list on issues that people care about. But when it comes to Democrats, oh boy, howdy, they have bought into that religion. They've actually just walked away from real religion and decided that government is their God and Jesus is the environment or something. Story from CNN. Kirsten Gillibrand, by the way, wasn't invited to participate. You get 7 hours of candidates on TV talking, and you're not one of them. That's an indication that you probably should start reading the writing on the wall. CNN reports, CNN on Tuesday announced the candidate lineup for its unprecedented primetime event focusing on the climate crisis. CNN's on board. 10 Democratic presidential hopefuls will appear in New York at back-to-back town halls on Wednesday, September 4th, taking audience questions about their climate plans as scientists sound the alarm about global warming. The poor audience, you know, that's really, you want to talk about, they could have done this, you know, in a studio wherever the candidates happen to be and done it via satellite. Instead, they're expelling a lot of CO2 to get to New York to spend, they'll get 40 minutes each. Along with the candidates, the network will also announce this. CNN has also announced the CNN journalists. Wait, CNN employs journalists? The CNN journalists and the approximate appearance times for the presidential hopefuls during the 7-hour live. 7 hours. 7 hours. Do you imagine being in the audience for this? You've got to get there at least an hour early. At least an hour early. To sit down and make sure that everybody goes through and they're coached up by the producers and the stage manager. Like, when this is when to applaud. This is when you do that. So you got to spend at least 8 hours there. There's going to be security to get in. So you probably really have to be there 9 hours early. What an absolute nightmare. Where are the people who worry about water? Forget waterboarding. If we have any terrorists out there at black sites around the world who are refusing to talk, fly them to New York next Wednesday and tell them they're going to sit through a 7-hour discussion with CNN personalities and Democratic presidential candidates about climate change. They'll tell you where everything is. They'll roll on every... That would be a violation of the Geneva Conventions, I think, but we should do it anyway because it would save money. So here's the lineup. At 5 p.m., this sucker starts at 5 o'clock Eastern. You got Julian Castro. Then you got Andrew Yang at 5:40. Now, this is Andrew Yang is a businessman. He's the one I like. I like him. I personally don't know him, but I wouldn't vote for him. But personally, I like him. I like his styles. It seems like he's probably the most honest. I still think his ideas are a little crazy, but I think he's the most honest. They're both going to be interviewed by Wolf Blitzer. Then in comes Aaron Burnett to interview Kamala Harris and then Amy Klobuchar. And we're only up to 7 o'clock when Amy Klobuchar comes on the stage. God, this is going to be awful. I mean, CNN's ratings are bad enough. Then I love how they bring in Aaron Burnett to interview 2 female candidates. Because that's how CNN works. Then we get Anderson Cooper coming in, and that's when the serious candidates come out. This is kind of funny. It's at 8 o'clock is when Anderson Cooper comes on, and he's got Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. So you can tell they don't have – Wolf is Wolf. We'll put him on when he – Wolf ain't going to stick around late, so we'll put him on in his regular time slot. And then we'll have Erin Burnett, and she'll interview the chicks. Then we'll get serious for a little while. And we'll have Anderson Cooper interview Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden. Then you get Chris, you get Fredo coming out. He's got Elizabeth Warren and Mayor Pete. That goes till 10:40. Then we're not done. Then at 10:40, Don Lemon comes on. Don Lemon. Oh God, could you imagine? I'd almost not participate. Like, okay, this drawing took place. Who's going to be interviewing me? Don Lemon. No, I'm not. You know what? Forget it. Kirsten Gillibrand can have my time slot. She can go be interviewed by Don Lemon. At 10:40, you get Beto O'Rourke, and he's going to be karate chopping the air and all of that. And then finally, bringing up the caboose, the tail end, at 11:20, Cory Booker takes the stage with Don Lemon. Can you imagine how painful that would be for the audience? You get bed sores. It'd just be awful. It'd be awful. CNN previously announced that chief climate correspondent Bill Ware would be joining the questioning throughout the evening. Ooh, he's the chief climate correspondent. A CNN poll conducted in late April showed that 96% of Democrats favored taking aggressive action to slow the effects of climate change. Yeah, become a Bond villain and figure out a way to control the weather, and then figure out a way to do something about that giant ball of fire in the sky, which dictates our temperature. Okay? That's what you want to do. But yes, this is CNN. The United Nations, which projects temperatures will rise 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels by as early as 2030, has warned that governments must take, quote, rapid, far-reaching, and unprecedented changes in all aspects of society, end quote. Well, there's a group of people you want to follow and lead. The United Nations, mostly despotic regimes, only held in check by the United States and sometimes a couple of other countries. This is nuts. This is insane. The DNC almost canceled this. The DNC didn't want this because they know that this is a massive, massive opportunity for these people and whoever the eventual nominee is likely in this list, for these people to say something incredibly crazy to try and appeal to the people that CNN will handpick to participate in this event. And that incredible crazy thing will be held against them and all Democrats throughout the rest of the election season. But the activists want it. And the Democratic Party is a party that it is a dog being wagged by its tail. They are insane. Their insane fringe, which is really only maybe 25%, it's a huge percentage, but 25% of the Democratic Party wants this. Maybe it's up to 50%, I don't know. But how this plays out and how safe anybody's, could you imagine, who wants to talk to anybody for 40 minutes about one issue and then have it repeated over and over and over with a whole clown car conga line of these people just dancing out there going, yep, cut, cut, tax, tax, regulate, regulate, ban, ban. All right, thanks. Next, cut, cut, tax, tax, regulate, regulate, ban, ban. Next, next. Oh, we're going to mix it up. We got ban, tax, cut, regulate, ban, regulate, tax, whatever. Can't imagine why CNN rates lower than reruns on the Cartoon Network at night than their primetime network. But this is it. Kirsten Gillibrand, though, sadly did not make the stage. I've never liked her. There's something about her. She really does seem opportunistic. She really does. When she lectured that poor woman at a town hall meeting about how she didn't realize how, even though she was poor and having difficulty making ends meet, that she still benefited massively from white privilege and therefore, you know, could be crapped on by Democrats and the government. I thought, there's something wrong with you. There's really something wrong with you, Kirsten Gillibrand. And even voters in the Democratic primary, have noticed that. So while some of them will sit through 7 hours of these babbling buffoons telling you that we're all killing the planet and we have to give them power over our lives to save it, most people won't. I'll bring you up to date on anything you need to know. It'll mostly be mocking because I don't think most of these people have any idea what they're talking about. But then again, you just have to say a few buzzwords and call for a few specific actions that really don't matter in the grand scheme of things. Like, oh, if we get rid of all our CO2 emissions, we'll save the planet. No, we won't. China and India will more than make up for it. Environmentalists, we've actually cut our CO2 emissions significantly in the United States. The rest of the world hasn't, yet we have to do more. Because it's not about the planet, it's not about the environment, it is about destroying this country, it is about fundamentally transforming America, and you have to destroy it, what exists now, to be able to rebuild it in whatever image you want. It's a scam. This will not be pointed out by anybody, Wolf Blitzer, Aaron Burnett, Anderson Cooper, Fredo Cuomo, or Don Lemon. They're on board. It's so sad what our country's become and what the Democratic Party. There was a time when the Democratic Party was kind of respectable. Not in my lifetime, but I've heard stories about it. They aren't anymore. While the polling data might be good for Joe Biden, and while the Democrats run around and play this climate change game, not all news has been good for Joe in the last 24 hours. Politico has a story that executives claim Biden's brother offered Biden's help promoting business venture. What? Pay for play in the Democratic Party? The hell you say. Joe Biden's younger brother told potential business partners that the former vice president would help their firm land business with court systems and would incorporate their health care model into his 2020 presidential campaign, according to new allegations made in a court filing in Tennessee. The allegations are consistent with others made over the years that relatives of Biden have sought to enrich themselves off his public service. But they go further, representing the first explicit claim that James Biden offered to have his former vice president, have the former vice president use his clout to further private business interests. So you've got a Roger Clinton sort of situation. Roger Clinton is kind of the oafish brother of Bill Clinton, who is like Billy Carter. Apparently, Billy Beer was a thing in the 70s because Billy Carter, Jimmy Carter's brother, was trying to capitalize on. Every once in a while, you see a can of Billy Beer at like a flea market or something, unopened. And if beer remains unopened since the 1970s, it's gone bad, but you can tell that it was not good at the time. If Billy Beer was really good, A, you could still buy it today, and B, people would have drank it. But there's no Roger Clinton beer. I guess you got to give him credit for that. But yeah, Joe Biden's brother, there's a picture of him too, James Biden. He looks like Joe with his own hair. He looks like Joe with natural hair. So that's not super good for Joe. I was surprised that Politico reported that. Politico broke the story. That'll be interesting to see how that develops and whether or not any journalists will follow up on that. And then you got this little ditty from the Washington Examiner. John Kerry, remember him, John Kerry? John Kerry's stepson rushed to play damage control at the State Department after his business partner, Hunter Biden, cut a deal with an oligarch-owned Ukrainian gas company in 2014, according to internal State Department correspondences obtained by the Washington Examiner. Oopsie, the correspondence added the question about Biden's business activities, which have dogged the 2020 presidential primary campaign of his father, Joe. Hunter Biden's long history of drug and alcohol abuse, which contributed to his divorce and his dismissal from the Navy Reserves, has also attracted unwanted publicity for the Democratic frontrunner. An email released to the Washington Examiner shows that Biden's decision to join the board of Ukraine's Burisma Holdings sparked immediate concern within his inner circle about the political optics. Because, Joe Biden was vice president at the time back in 2014 when this was going down. And if you get John Kerry, his son running away from it. I mean, John Kerry's kids, it's his stepson. They're filthy rich. Every time you buy Heinz ketchup, you're putting money in their pocket. At the time, Hunter Biden, now 49, and Christopher Hines, the stepson of then Secretary of State John Kerry, co-owned Rosemont Seneca Partners, a $2.4 billion private equity firm. Who wouldn't want... This is why people think that the system is rigged. And it's kind of funny because the people bitching about how the system is rigged are always the ones benefiting most from it, and they don't ever actually address how their own families are abusing it. $2.4 billion private equity firm. Hines' college roommate Devin Archer was managing partner in the firm. You got to love these names. Where do they come up with them? You got to give your kids rich people names. But they get $2.4 billion to invest and play with. They get commissions. They get money and fees and all of that stuff. Hunter Biden had a long history of drug abuse, drug problems. I don't know what Christopher Hines' background is, but being born into a family of billionaires, it just seems like he was looking for a hobby. And if you're living in college with these people, you, again, weren't eating PB&J with the crust cut off growing up. You didn't get tomato soup. You had some servant go out and smash fresh tomatoes and make it into soup. So it's not been a good look and a good 24 hours for Joe Biden. You'll likely not be asked about any of this. But when you get John Kerry's kid running away from you, running away from your kid, you might want to, you might want to question some things. Hours after Biden's board appointment to this company went public on May 13, 2014, Hines emailed Matt Summers and David Wade, two of his stepfather's top aides at the State Department, quote, "Apparently Devin and Hunter both joined the board of Burisma and a press release went out today. I can't speak why they decided to, but there was no investment by our firm in their company. Making sure, look, I didn't have anything to do with this. I got my fingerprints off of it, and we didn't put any of this company money off of it, this $2.4 billion. Maybe Christopher Hines is the responsible one. The Biden kid saw dollar signs. His father was incredibly powerful and a longtime senator and then currently vice president, but the Bidens weren't wealthy. So all you could trade, you weren't rubbing shoulders with billionaire kids when you were growing up. But you could roll with them in their inner circle because of your dad's work, even though dad was, poor. It's relatively speaking. Joe Biden's always been wealthy, relatively speaking, to normal Americans. But the circles he ran in, he was probably the poorest guy. Not anymore, by the way. He's made a fortune. And his kids have made a fortune off of certainly not their skills, because there are not many people with drug problems who then hook up with their late brother's wife, leave their wife, hook up with their late brother's wife, and then leave her and marry some chick you just met like a week earlier or whatever. Maybe it was a month. Hunter Biden's life is messed up. Hunter Biden is kind of a messed up dude. But it's all telling. It's all little jigsaw puzzle pieces, all piece of the puzzle. And it's all going to keep coming together. We have an update on everybody's favorite anti-Semite. Yes, Ilhan Omar. Sorry, Rashida Tlaib. You're second place yet again. It's something for else for you to complain about. You're discriminated against to the point that you're not even the favorite anti-Semite of American progressives. Ilhan Omar, an interesting story out of the New York Post. The headline, "My husband dumped me for Ilhan Omar, says DC, or DC mom says, in divorce filing." I had no idea that Islam was a swinger religion. It gives me a whole... Looking at women being forced to be covered, being required to walk behind their husbands, etc., etc., I didn't really think of it as an empowering kind of religion for women's sexuality, given all the, female genital mutilation that goes on there. But hey, you learn something new every day. I'd have thought I would have picked up on this in the 5 years I was living in Dearborn, Michigan, but nope. Apparently not. The story, a Washington, D.C. mom says her political consultant husband left her for Representative Ilhan Omar, according to a bombshell divorce filing obtained by the Post. Dr. Beth Jordan Minette, Minette, says her cheating spouse, Tim Minette, told her in April that he was having an affair with the Somali-born U.S. representative and that he'd even made a shocking declaration of love to the Minnesota congresswoman before he ditched his wife, alleged the filing, submitted in D.C. Superior Court on Tuesday. Isn't that lovely? This is, what, her third? Well, she just recently left her husband, so this is, she's two marriages in. Again, I had no idea that Islam was so empowering of women and their sexuality. The physician, the doctor, 55, and her 38-year-old husband, who worked for left-wing Democrats such as Omar and her Minnesota predecessor, Keith Ellison, another anti-Semite who was a big fan of Louis Farrakhan. Maybe they want to look at redistricting out that district, spreading the hate around so they're not sending anti-Semites to Congress? Just a thought. They have a 13-year-old son together. Quote, the parties physically separated on or about April 7th, 2019, when defendant told plaintiff he was romantically involved and in love with another woman, Ilhan Omar. End quote, the court papers say. Beth Minette told her husband that she still loved him and was, quote, willing to fight for the marriage, end quote, even after his admission, according to court papers. The pair had been living together for 6 years before marrying in 2012, the filing said, but Tim Minette said he was done. Omar, a member of the squad. I love this. These are the people who are telling us that it is immoral to not legislate this and it is immoral to mandate that. These people are trying to impose their agenda based on morality, while actual morals are an individual thing. You know, how you act, not how people who look like you act, or not how you can force other people to act. Those aren't morals. You can demand that everybody give to charity, or else you're going to kill them. That wouldn't be moral. Even though you'd say giving to charity is a moral thing. That's not how morals work, at least not my understanding of it. Again, I'm not an Islamic scholar, so I can't speak to whatever Ilhan learned in Somalia or in the hate enclave she lives now, but I don't think that's how it works. The story continues. Omar, a member of the squad, a group of far left leaning. They're tipped over. I love that. It left-leaning, right-leaning, I get that. You're just kind of leaning in that direction, leaning in the other direction. But far left-leaning somehow defies gravity. Someone like Ilhan Omar is not leaning in any direction. She's fallen. She's taken a tumble. She's cartwheeled over to the left and then some. She's karate kicked. Left-leaning female freshman House members, including AOC and two others, recently separated from her husband, according to reports. The 37-year-old congresswoman, you know, she already separated from her first husband, who was apparently also her brother, or allegedly her brother. So I suppose the fact that she's now dating a married man who she didn't meet at a family reunion is a step in the right direction, right? You got to find the victories where you can, I suppose. The 37-year-old congresswoman and mom of three paid Tim Minette and his E Street group approximately $230,000 through her campaign since 2008 for fundraising, consulting, digital communications, internet advertising, and travel expenses. Isn't that nice? See, this is how corruption in Washington works. You hire your friends, you hire your lovers, you hire your mistresses. You put them on the campaign staff. You can't just take money and give it to people because that would be illegal. So you hire them to do work for you. And someone in Ilhan Omar's district is pretty safe. She's not going to be challenged by a Republican anytime soon. And I hate to break everybody's bubble out there who's thinking that, ooh, there's Republicans lining up to challenge Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. This is going to be good. Love to take her. You're not going to take her out. We're not going to take her out. I don't mean to deflate your dreams, but somebody's got to tell kids that they're not going to be able to fly like Superman. And they're most likely not going to become a Major League Baseball player. And, you know, you're not going to beat AOC in a general election in a district that's 80% Democrat. You want to take out AOC? Put your support and your time and your effort and your money behind a challenger in the primary. That's where the real election happens in her district. And you really only need to get a few thousand votes. In the Democratic primary up there, when she beat Joe Connolly, she got like 5,000 votes or something like that. It was something ridiculous. It wasn't very much. That's where you take these people out in these safe districts. So, yeah. Anyway, why is she raising she's raising millions of dollars if she's willing to pay her her little boy toy $230,000 since 2018. That's just a year ago. And remember, how long has this affair been going on? She just recently left her husband. $230,000. Omar was spotted enjoying time with Tim Minette at a California restaurant in March. I wonder who paid for that. I wonder if campaign funds were paying for that little nice vacation they had together. Beth Minette is seeking primary physical custody of her son and her husband's, of her and her husband's son, in part because of Tim Minette's extensive travel with Omar, the document says. Quote, defendant's more recent travel and long work hours now appear to be more related to his affair with Representative Omar than his actual work commitments. I sense another ethics complaint. Of course, that won't do anything. Ethics complaints are wastes of time in Congress. They might embarrass somebody, but in general, that's about all they do, temporary embarrassment. Seems to me that there could be some campaign finance violations here, but that would require somebody in the Justice Department to actually get off their ass and do some real work. They don't seem to like to do that. It's kind of sad and pathetic. The doctor, who also argued that she does not trust her estranged husband's judgment with her son, in part because of her relationship with Omar. Quote, from the filing, by way of example, days prior to defendant's devastating and shocking declaration of love for Representative Omar and admission of their affair, he and Representative Omar took the party's son to dinner in order to formally meet for the first time at the family's favorite neighborhood restaurant while plaintiff was out of town. Representative Omar gave the party's son a gift, and the defendant later brought her back inside the family's home. End quote. So this Tim Minette guy seems like a real piece of trash. He's screwing around on his wife with Ilhan Omar, wants the son to meet the girlfriend before he bothers to tell the wife that he's leaving, and then brings Omar back to the house. Why? So she can measure it for drapes? What's going on? Do you want to check out the color palette in the guest bathroom, see if she maybe wants to change it? Does he think that he was going to get the house in the divorce while screwing around on his wife with this woman? I know a lot of women who, they'd be pissed about the affair. They'd be more pissed that they brought the mistress to meet the kid before they even found out about it. They wouldn't like it if the mistress ever met the kid. But if they found out, if the kid was basically introduced to the mistress before the wife found out about the affair, that would be it. And then the cherry on top is bringing the mistress into the home. That is a no-no. Beth Minette added in the filing that the most concerning thing about the jaunt was her hubby's decision to, quote, put his son in harm's way by taking him out in public with Omar, who at the time garnered a plethora of media attention along with death threats. Well, you have to believe the media and, well, Ilhan Omar for all of that crap. The physician is also seeking full control of the couple's D.C. home, child support, and legal fees to be paid by Tim Minette, according to the filing. If he can rake in $230,000 for doing consulting work for Ilhan Omar's campaign where she's safe and pretty much guaranteed re-election, he's got to be raking in a lot. That's more than members of Congress make. by the way. This is the scam, how this works. Timonette and Omar did not immediately return messages seeking comment. Omar's husband, Ahmed Hissiri, is a former banker who was hired as senior policy aide to a Minnesota city councilwoman last year, the Minnesota Tribune Star reported at the time. Omar was previously married to Ahmed Nur Said Alim, which is the guy who's allegedly her brother. President Trump has repeated the claim that the union with Alim was illegal immigration fraud because he is her brother and that they wed so he could obtain American citizenship. Omar called that allegation absolutely false and ridiculous, but then refused to provide any proof whatsoever backing up her assertion. Don't you love this? Next time this hypocritical pile of human filth lectures the American people about morality, let's just remember her past. Let's just remember who she is, having an affair, thinking it's a good idea to go and meet her boyfriend's son before the boyfriend tells the wife that he's in love with somebody else. Then again, we should celebrate that Islam is so liberating to women, sexually. Oh, the hypocrisy. This one from the you're not going to see it on the nightly news file, unless you happen to live in the Washington, D.C. area. There has been a rash of illegal aliens arrested for raping underage girls in Montgomery County, the sanctuary county of Montgomery County, where I happened to live, sadly. It's ridiculously expensive and crappy. On top of it, sanctuary, very liberal, and you need English as a second language to exist in a lot of areas. You can get lost. You can not communicate with some people. WJLA is reporting yet another case. Germantown, Maryland, a father of 10 crawled into bed with a 16-year-old girl while she slept, placing a knife against her neck, and proceeded to rape her, Montgomery police allege in newly filed court documents. Nelson Reyes Medrano, 46, is charged with first-degree rape, sex abuse of a minor, and first-degree sexual assault stemming from the alleged August 2018 attack. 2018, what the hell has taken so long? U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement says Reyes Medrano is an undocumented immigrant. Shocking, right? Here's what happened. The victim, now 17 years old, was savoring her final days of summer break during an afternoon nap. This is again from WJLA. She recalled hearing Reyes Maduro, a non-blood relative, enter the family's Germantown apartment. A short while later, the victim opened her eyes and saw the 5'6" tall, 165-pound man straddling her and clenching a kitchen knife in his right hand. The victim froze. "Take your clothes off," Reyes Medrano allegedly told the 16-year-old girl. The victim continued to sit still and tear. The inaction prompted Reyes Medrano to place the dull side of the knife against the victim's neck. "Last time I'm going to say it, take your clothes off," Reyes Medrano warned the girl. Fearing for her life, the victim began to slowly remove her clothes, one article at a time. Her intent was to stall. Perhaps another relative just so happened to enter the apartment, and in doing so thwart the attack, she thought. It didn't happen. Reyes Medrano grew impatient, according to police, again placing the knife against the victim's neck, this time applying the sharp side. He then ripped off the 16-year-old girl's clothing. What is alleged to have happened next is too troubling to publish, the site says. This is the problem with open borders. People seem to think that the only place, well, women are really, really oppressed over in the Middle East, and that's it, and that's why the Muslim countries, and why the feminists don't mention that. The feminists don't mention where women are oppressed anywhere. Down in Latin American countries, women don't have a good go of it either. Women are looked at as disposable. In a lot of these cultures, in a lot of these poor cultures, I know we're not allowed to say that there are any shithole countries, but there are a lot of them. there are a lot of them. And the residents of those countries are pouring into this country illegally and being welcomed by Democrats. And along with them come the astronomical numbers of rapes committed in those cultures. It's acceptable to a certain degree in some of these cultures. As sick as it sounds, that is the truth. Children are not looked at as children. Children are looked at as, well, you know what? They're just something to use. Let's do it. Let's do this thing. I want to get laid. There's a kid over there. Who cares if she's 15 years old? Let's just do it. Maybe the father will kill you if they catch you. But otherwise, there's not too much to worry about. What is going to happen? You know, the governments aren't going to come crack down on you. And you bring people into this country and you encourage them not to assimilate. Remember, that's the key. Democrats, we need to celebrate cultural diversity. We're a multicultural society. Well, some cultures are just better than other cultures. And if Democrats, if progressive Democrats were being honest, they would agree too. They would think that the Sharia law in Saudi Arabia is not a particular good thing. Same in Iran, forcing women to wear headscarves. If they don't, they're beaten and or imprisoned is not a good thing. They don't complain about that all that much because they complain about the United States. They say, well, come into this country and you just do whatever you want to do. However you want to celebrate is perfectly okay. It's a legitimate choice. Done and done. Let's just forget the whole thing and you keep your culture. Don't assimilate. Assimilation is akin to genocide. Well, when you do that, you end up creating little versions of the shithole countries that they fled in this country. There's, like I said, I lived in college in Dearborn, Michigan. You could, if you didn't speak English at all, but you spoke Arabic, you would be perfectly fine there. If you lived in the confines of East Dearborn, which is where I lived, the menus wouldn't be a problem. Stores wouldn't be a problem. No clerk that you ran into would be a problem. You could live your whole life without ever having to learn English or about the culture because there are cable channels that cater to people who speak Arabic there. It makes sense. There's a market. Somebody's going to fill it. And you can also broadcast TV from around the world on the internet. There would be no real reason for you to need to speak English. You could speak to 80% of your neighbors and the other 20% you just kind of ignore, maybe you wave to, but you can't communicate with, so there's no point in bothering with it. You can live your whole life that way. My favorite example of this is the guy, and I've used this before, it had to be like 2012, 2013, somewhere in there. A guy who was a janitor in New Jersey won a Powerball drawing, Powerball or Mega Millions, one of the two. And it was a lot of money, hundreds of millions of dollars. Very exciting for him. And he had a press conference because some states require lottery winners to be known and others allow them to keep their names private. So at his press conference, he needed an interpreter. And then you read further into the story and you discover that this guy has been in this country, in the United States of America, since 1988, I believe it was. So he'd been in the country 25 years, give or take, yet could not speak English well enough to take basic questions at a press conference about the hundreds of millions of dollars that he just won. Now, he's not going to ask theoretical physics questions of the guy. They're not going to try and stump him with obscure Norwegian history on this guy. The questions at a press conference for lottery winners are about the same. What was your reaction when you found out? What are you going to do now? And have you heard whatever? They're basic kind of questions. He couldn't answer them after more than 25 years in this country. He couldn't answer those in English. Why? Not because he's stupid, but because Democrats had spent those years telling him, you don't need to. Don't worry about it. Celebrate diversity. You maintain your culture. Don't try to assimilate. That would be wrong. That would be racist. And that guy had been a janitor for those 25 years. A janitor. Now, Democrats care so much about people that they want to put them in positions from which there is nowhere to rise, nowhere to go up. They would have been perfectly content had he not won the lottery and nobody'd ever heard of him, for him to work his whole life as a janitor. Nothing against janitors, but I think most people start a job and then they want to continually move up the ladder of responsibility and therefore income. That guy who can't speak English would have made it was impossible for him. The only way he managed to do it was, you know, winning hundreds of millions of dollars, which I suppose if you've got to choose a way to do it other than hard work, that would be the one I would choose. But this is the mentality, whether it is the inability to speak English or the cultural indifference towards the rights and existence of women. When you import people without any push for assimilation, in fact, with a push against assimilation, you're going to get situations like the rapes that are happening in the last month, five now, by illegal aliens in Montgomery County alone. How many others in Montgomery County haven't been reported? How many others across the country haven't been reported? Now, remember, we're constantly browbeaten by Democrats that, you know what, the sweet, sweet, nourishing illegal alien is our moral superior. They commit far fewer crimes than Americans do, which is a bogus statistic. The Obama administration stopped the collection of data to find out whether or not people who were arrested were in the country legally or illegally, were American citizens or illegal aliens. Why? Because they didn't want people to know that information. You only don't want people to know that information if it contradicts what you're telling people. It's very, very simple to figure out. But how many are going unreported? How many? I would ask this of every Democrat running for Congress or running for president, every Democrat running for office everywhere. I would say that there have been five alleged rapes in Montgomery County, Maryland, reported in the last month, committed by illegal aliens. You say that illegal aliens commit far fewer crimes than Americans, even if you accept that being true. How many underage girls being forcibly raped by illegal aliens is too many for you to say that we need to start deporting illegal aliens to stop the possibility of this? They want to preemptively ban guns from every law-abiding American citizen on the prospect that one of them could do something evil. Yet when it comes to people doing evil, they don't even want to deport them. Montgomery County had a policy where they were ordered explicitly not to tell ICE about any illegal aliens in their custody. Once the outcry over the first rape, two guys raping a 13-year-old girl, that once that came out and they recognized that one of them had been in a run-in with the law and should have been reported to ICE by law, but the sanctuary policies of Montgomery County said, no, you can't report them. And they didn't report them, and then they were released, and they took part in this rape of this girl. The county sort of made an addendum to that policy saying, well, people charged with serious crimes will let ICE know. Well, okay. Again, another kind of question. If somebody is arrested for driving drunk, they're in this country illegally, but they didn't hurt anybody. You've determined that that's not a serious offense. So then will you take responsibility if in the future, since you decided that that wasn't worthy of telling Immigration and Customs Enforcement, will you take responsibility for if that person drives drunk again and kill somebody? Will you then serve the sentence along with the illegal alien that you could have caused the deportation of? You should have caused the deportation of. But since you're so compassionate and progressive, you said, no, we're not going to do that. So now that person kind of becomes your responsibility. So we'll make a deal. You can keep doing that. But if any of these people who've had run-ins with the law are ever arrested for, you know, quote-unquote serious crimes or have to do any jail time whatsoever, you, Mr. Politician Man, you have to serve half the time they're sentenced to. How about that? If you think that these people are nothing but the salt of the earth and the most wonderful people, a boon to the economy, you couldn't do better. If you're starting a new country, you'd want nothing but these people in there because the economy would be booming. It would rival the United States. If you think that's the case and you think this is worth inflicting on the American people by protecting them from consequences for their illegal actions, should they commit further illegal actions in the future, are you willing to also serve half the sentence they receive? I guarantee you not one single politician will say yes. Not one. If you introduced a resolution stating as much, that the county council has to serve half the time that any illegal alien gets if they're in contact with police, but thanks to the sanctuary city policies are not allowed to inform ICE, you wouldn't get one single vote. These people are hypocrites. They look at individuals as disposable. They don't care about Americans. Americans are not their priority. Their priority is getting as many illegal aliens into this country as possible to eventually give them amnesty, give them citizenship, and cancel out your votes. That's what's going on here. That's why you don't hear about these five rapes of underage girls in Montgomery County in the last month. If this had happened just about, well, it wouldn't have happened if it were white girls being raped by white guys, this would be a national news story. If it were frat guys doing it, it would be a national news story. If it were in a Chicago black community, the media wouldn't care. They're racist pieces of crap. They don't care about that because this is happening to Hispanics and it's illegal aliens that are doing this. They're not interested in this story either. It can't help their narrative. It can only hurt it. It can only help Donald Trump. And because of that, these girls, they might as well have not happened. They just need to shut their mouths and go away. Yeah, you can have your justice. Just don't expect us to show up to the courtroom and report on it because we refuse to help Donald Trump because he's a racist. He's a racist. The decision not to cover this story nationally of the five rapes is because the perpetrators who have been accused in these cases are Hispanic and illegal. That's why. That is blatant racism. The victims are Hispanic. Whether they're legal or illegal is unknown and frankly irrelevant. I don't care what the 15-year-old you raped is doing in this country. I care that you raped a 15-year-old. You know? So remember that next time leftists argue, as Ilhan Omar always does, as the squad always does, the Gang of Four, they lecture you about morality. They don't give a whip about morality. They use that word as a tool, as a weapon. They don't mean it, not in any conventional sense. They're doing it for manipulation purposes. And frankly, you really want to talk about morality. That's pretty damn evil in my book. I want to end the program on a lighter note. My mother, she always used to say the word program wrong. It always kind of made me laugh. Like, oh, I'm just watching my program. She always dropped the R. And every time I say the word program, I think of that. Miss her. Lighter note, because, you know, the last story was all kinds of awful. This one is all kinds of awful, but for different reasons. From Reuters, but this is all over the place. Yum Brands Incorporated said on Monday it will be testing Beyond Meat Incorporated's plant-based chicken nuggets and boneless wings at an Atlanta KFC restaurant, the largest fast food chain trying new options to attract vegan diners. If you got chicken in your name, can we just stipulate something right off the bat? Stop calling fake meat the meat you're trying to pretend that it is. These are meatless hamburgers. Well, then they're not hamburgers. You can call them meatless patties. You can call them bean patties or fart patties or whatever the hell you want to call them. But hockey pucks, flavorless bland cakes, I don't care what you call them. They aren't hamburgers. And whatever sort of glops of fried, battered, crap that they put together is not chicken. Okay? They're not vegan chicken nuggets. They're not boneless vegan chicken wings. There's nothing involving a chicken involved. You shouldn't be able to call it chicken. If there's not a, you know, meat at all. Oh, look, we've got this plant-based pork chop. It's not a pork chop. Did a pig die for this? You know, did Peppa Pig go meet her maker so that I might be able to have this bacon? No? Then it's not bacon. Okay? Call it something. Call it vegetable bacon. But it's not bacon. It's not meatless bacon. You can't call it vegetable bacon. Call it like fruit roll-ups fried. I don't know what the hell these things are made out of. I don't want to know what these things are made of. Every time I've ever been told, this tastes this, it tastes just like this. It doesn't taste just like that. And it doesn't have the consistency of whatever it's supposed to be. So stop calling. I'm going to go to Morton's one day, and I guess I'll have the vegetarian porterhouse, please. No, you can't have that. It doesn't exist. It's not meat. It's not chicken. The quick serve restaurant will roll out its vegan menu items nationally based on the customer feedback from the Atlanta test, Yum said. Yum is the latest big chain restaurant jumping on the vegan bandwagon, a growing market as more fast food chains tweak their menus to add new options for vegans and flexitarians. I don't know what the hell a flexitarian is. I don't want to know what a flexitarian is. I've lived my whole life without ever having heard the word flexitarian until, is that like a vegetarian does yoga? That's about what it seems like to me. But if you're trying to appeal to a very small segment of the population, fine. Just don't call it. If you're vegan, why do you want to eat chicken? You know, think about that. Why do you want to eat a hamburger if you're a vegan? Shouldn't you just be happy with your field greens or whatever the hell, your dandelion soup or whatever the hell it is you people eat? Isn't that good enough? I don't care. Look, I'm not making fun of vegans. If you want to be vegan or vegetarian, knock yourself out. I don't care what you eat. Just stop caring what I eat. Stop caring what other people eat. My problem is that it's the vegans who want to tell everybody else how they must eat as well. It's not the meat eaters, the normal people out there. We're not roving the streets, going into restaurants, watching someone eat a salad, going, you really, really should have had the chicken skewers. What's wrong with you? Don't you know that plants have feelings? No, we're not trying to force anybody to live any other way than they want to. It's the minority. It's this tiny fraction of vegans and vegetarians who think they're morally superior. And, well, we have to do it because then we can get rid of cows. What, are those cows going to die of old age? I know you want to get rid of cow farts because you think that's ruining the planet. But what you really want to do is wipe out the entire population of cattle because you want to stop them from farting. And you think, well, people are eating meat, cause more of them to exist. So you just want to kill a bunch of them. You're not really doing it out of compassion. But again, do whatever the hell you want. Eat whatever the hell you want. I'm a total libertarian on that front. Just stop calling. Stop trying to fool us. Okay? We know that a bean puff deep fried is not chicken. Even if it's got all 11 herbs and spices stuck in the batter, it's not chicken. It's bean puffs or tofu crisps or whatever the hell these things are. Who the hell knows? Who cares? I don't know. I'm not going to try them. If you want to try them, that's great. I'd love to hear how you think they are. But you have to live in Atlanta right now, and I suspect it's not going to go over all that well. I can't imagine the customer feedback. Vegan's going to be rushing to KFC, going, I must try these deep-fried bland nuggets. I must. Because if they're truly vegan, they can't be fried in the same oil as the chicken is fried in, I would think. So then they're going to retool every kitchen in a KFC to try and capture, what, 1% of the population? Most of whom won't be vegan by the end of college. It seems to be the people who mostly experiment with vegetarianism. As they, oh, you know what? I did 6 months as a vegetarian, and then I fell into a big, juicy New York strip steak, and it was all over from there. I'd go through stints of eating less meat, mostly when I was roofing. But it always comes back to that juicy, juicy steak, or that delicious chicken breast, or that amazing pork chop, or bacon, whatever else you got. Again, just don't call it chicken. You're not fooling anybody. And if you really are a vegan who's desperate to eat something that tastes like chicken, maybe you're not meant to be a vegan. Maybe your body's telling you, you know what? Hamburgers are good. Just go eat a hamburger, you freaking hippie. Stop screwing up your body. All right, that is all the time we have for today. You can email me, Derek@DailyCaller.com, if you want to enter to win the signed copy of The Immoral Majority by Ben Howe. Do that, and you shall be entered. Any other compliments, complaints you got, whatever you feel like, throw it my way. Throw it in that email box, DEREK@DailyCaller.com. We'll be back here tomorrow yet again for another We're Relentless, another exciting episode. Have a great Wednesday. The Daily Daily Caller podcast is produced by Derek Hunter. Director, Derek Hunter. It's executive produced by Derek Hunter. Senior producer is Derek Hunter. Supervising producer is Derek Hunter. Technical producer is Derek Hunter. It was edited by Derek Hunter. The audio mixing was done by Derek Hunter. Hair and makeup provided by Derek Hunter's Pillow and Soap. Production assistance provided by The Cats. This joke was submitted by listener Christopher Flatten. And this joke is funny because it's true.